Hey everybody, this is Baco. We wanted to let you know that what you're about to listen to, we recorded on the same night as the previous episode, which was approximately 1 week before the passing of Playboy founder Hugh Hefner. Why is that important? Well, in the 96 shows that we've recorded, we have mentioned his name exactly twice, and it just so happens it's both times are on this episode. So if it sounds a little odd that we bring his name up and don't mention his passing, well, we thought we'd let you know why. With that, episode 96 of Cobras and Fire starts now.
Now, how do you like them apples?
I don't like the sound of them apples. Well, what are we going to do?
Jackie?
Yeah?
It's hunting season.
Applesauce, bitch.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek Podcast Network. How do you like them apples, bitch?
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, along with the bass minty Baco. I am in your basement. I'm in Minnesota. This is a spectacular experience. How are you, sir?
Well, Luce, now that I have you here, we need to talk about you.
Great. It's my favorite subject. Go ahead.
We need to talk about how certain things about you affect other people.
Okay, sure. In a good way, I'm sure.
Not necessarily. Don't get me wrong. There are some good things. Mm-hmm. But what I needed to talk to you about was some of the not so good things, like you, the way you are, you have a tendency to treat almost everything in your life as a disposable item.
Absolutely, and I do. I'm actually throwing this glass I just had, drank out of, and throwing it in the trash right now. It's made of glass. This is obviously a piece of shit. I'm going to throw this away.
Okay. Well, see, that's what I'm talking
about.
What you're saying is kind of hurtful and destructive. And
why is that hurtful?
Well, those are my things. And
it says Joe's Lounge. Is this very? It has in Camel. You don't smoke anymore. It doesn't
you know how many
anymore.
Packs of cigarettes I had to smoke to get that?
Oh, this was you earned this?
Yes.
You were that asshole that sent away for these things?
Yes, I. And you just called me an asshole. This is what I'm talking about. You have this destructive attitude towards the people in
I'm
your
surprised
life.
They don't actually give like parts. You have to send in parts of your lung that are burnt.
Why don't we talk about why you feel the need to dispose of everything in your life?
So you're steering the conversation back. Why? Why? What do you mean? That I want to destroy everything. What do you mean? This fucking microphone's a piece of shit. I'm throwing it away. Look at this thing. Dusty. This stuff is dusty. There's no reason to have this in here if it has dust in it.
Loose.
Fucking these things. What?
Do you even hear yourself?
Yeah, I am not deaf.
Okay.
I would not be able to do this podcast if I couldn't hear you. So I don't understand even what you're trying to say.
Well, it sounds like you're not even like listening. Do you hear me?
Right, go ahead. Say it again. What else?
You treat your family and your friends and your CDs like they're a napkin. And you just use once and destroy.
So this is a purge thing.
Yes.
Is that what this is going?
This is about your addiction to purging and how you feel this necessary act of any time you use something to just get rid of it and dispose it.
Because things don't matter. I had my house burned down when I was 17 years old. It turned to ash, just like the jerk socks. The jerk socks are ash. They're fucking gone. They're disposable, just like everything I had. Everything I own is the oldest thing I have is 1991. Do you understand that? Things mean nothing. I don't care. I don't care if Irma destroys your home. It's just shit. It doesn't matter. All your house is just a box full of things. That's all it is. So I don't know what you're saying. I have a fucking issue.
Luce, it's not your fault.
Well, it did. I burned it down.
Okay, I had no idea.
I'm just kidding. I did not burn it down. Continue your
It's not your fault.
Okay, thank you. And?
It's not your fault.
Anyway, there's a lot of things I got to get rid of in your house. First off, I don't think we've even scratched the surface. I did a little tour of your Kiss room. I got to find those Kiss barrels. I had a friend of mine. Do you know what a Kiss barrel is? Do you know what a barrel is?
Mm, yeah.
What?
You put whiskey in it.
No, not that kind of barrel. I'm talking about something that you seal. Like, people, they're collectors. I went to this one guy's house. He was a Star Wars collector. I didn't know it until that day. We were at his party. All of a sudden, he goes...
Sounds like a cool guy.
Yes, I'm sure he is. And he is a cool guy. But my point is, he had this barrel that was sealed, like those big like metal things where you unchunk it and you take the top off. It was like, it had all this like 1970s like mint stuff. So he took out. Remember the Darth Vader thing you put all the thing in?
The action figure holder.
Yeah, he had all the action figures except all the action figures had all their guns and their capes and like he'd never even played with them. I'm talking about like, you know, you lose those in like
right,
a day.
Right.
All the stormtroopers. Right.
Maybe he was afraid his house would burn down.
My point is, there's fucking Kiss barrels in this house, and I'm going to find them. You have to have more.
Well, there is more.
I knew it.
There's tough.
And that's where we have to go open. We're gonna crack open those things, and you know, Pots and Sods needs material for their 12 days of Kissmas. And maybe I'm just going to list off the things I'm taking out of the barrel and burning.
Loose.
What?
Have you never seen Good Will Hunting?
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
It's not your fault.
Talk about now.
Well, did you hear one of your favorite activities? The I don't know if it was an activity, whatever. One of the things near and dear to your heart, the hologram, is got a new candidate going on tour. Frank Zappa. one of our favorites, of course.
Oh, yes, Frank Zappa, big fan. But, well, I can tell you right now, I was not prepared with hologram material today.
It kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? I mean, another freaking, and this one's even better because it seems to be like a family divided, where you got...
They're divided on a lot of things, aren't they?
Yeah.
Isn't there something where, like, one, a Dweezil he tried to go on tour.
Yeah, as like the Frank Zappa experience where he'd play, and then the family, the stepmom and brother tried to stop him. I don't know. I run about as deep in my Zappa knowledge as you do.
Yes.
Which is not.
You know, who would be good for a fact check as Joey at Rock Strikes 10. For some reason, he likes Zappa.
No, I got a couple of friends that go very heavy on.
So he knows
I will
a lot.
Say Joe's Garage, I think it's called, is a very entertaining listen.
I've heard that one.
Yeah.
That's like a three disc one, right?
It's at least two, but.
I did hear that one. It was pretty funny.
So, yeah, it's pretty good. But no, of course you're in favor, right? And
all holograms all day. I mean, just hologram the shit out of every single thing. I mean, I would like to see. I mean, if Ace wasn't there at the Gene show, I would like to have an Ace hologram playing with him from his bunker studio or whatever he used to hang out at.
Would you pay $50,000 for the hologram to come to your house?
Oh, that's the $1,000 tier. Okay. Is that the Gene Simmons hologram comes and delivers the ball?
We didn't think of that.
That's the thing. That's where I'm talking about. I talked about this before. If hologram technology can get to the point where they can pick up a 38-pound vault and bring it to your house, that's where we are going. Ooh. It needs to be able to pick up things.
Yes, holograms need to be able to move physical objects in front of them.
Then we're good to go.
Like a ventriloquist dummy taking a glass of water while the dummy still talks.
No, in all reality, I find it highly amusing, but it would only entertain me for like a song as a gimmick. I cannot watch a show. This whole thing where they're taking—is it actually on tour now? The DL thing or not?
When is it's supposed to be going on tour? You know, now that you mentioned, I haven't actually seen dates.
Okay.
And yeah, do they still have to have everything pitch black for you to even see it?
That's what I'm saying.
Whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, we went to talk heavy on the last one. That's enough on this, right? I got nothing more on this.
I got
this.
Nothing else. It's just that if they're – if I'm guessing it's one hologram company that's making this or a main – I mean, if you're going to go build
– like an iTunes kind of thing, or an Apple versus Samsung. It's like,
yeah, is there two different companies competing? Yeah. Like they're putting their Dio technology versus Frank, or is it everybody together? And if so, why can't they all go on tour together? You know what I'm saying? Like if it's the same company,
or it'd be like a competing things like not Live Nation and Ticketmaster,
right?
Where they have their own hologram tours.
Right, but they're going to have an all-star thing when Dio comes out and Frank comes out at the same time, and they start dancing together, and what's some of Frank's songs about? I'm trying to think of like the some of the props and everything that they could have between the two of them.
I have no idea.
Frank versus Dio.
Oh God, is there somebody
who
else
that
we can talk more
there?
About? Well, what's his nuts?
Tupac can come
Tupac.
Out and shoot both of them in the head.
Yeah, shoot them both in the head. He's got one nut hanging around still.
Who does?
Hey, that's what I want to know. Does the Tupac hologram still have both testicles?
Did he lose a testicle?
Yeah, he lost. He got one shot off.
Oh, I didn't. I forgot that story.
Yeah.
It has to be correct. You have to be able to take the pants off the hologram and be able to inspect. This is a fraud! This guy has two balls!
Yeah, what are they like... Do they just take like a snapshot and get some kind of 360 view?
That's what I was asking you, but even about the Dio thing. I think it's like somebody was explaining that they take a bunch of it's a computer program that takes a lot of information from pictures or concert footage and like combines it into something that he's doing, but it's not actually like a footage of him singing the song live at some point.
Do you can you think of anybody that wore worse satin outfits than Dio?
I don't know. Maybe I can't think of something.
Hefner?
That's true. Yeah. He did that. But you know what really disturbs me is that holograms are fine. But when
if I was married to Hugh Hefner, I'd rather have sex with his hologram.
That is true. I wonder if the hologram is as boring as he is, though. I've never seen a guy more boring get so much pussy. I mean, my guy, anytime he interviews, like, yes, I have this mansion. It's like, just...
Gene Simmons thinks he's creepy.
Yeah, that guy is creepy as fuck. He not only has all his playmates, but he makes every single one of them look the same for like 20 years. They're all the exact same proportion.
Go to this doctor.
Blonde, no brunettes.
Come home in 2 months.
No ethnic groups allowed in this zone of what he wants. Everything like that is insane. But no, but holograms are fine. I will tell you, I draw the line when I see a hologram lip sync. If the track stops and their mouth is still moving, fucking lip syncing hologram.
So, I mean, one of the members of Milli Vanilli is dead, so no Milli Vanilli, like, live guy, dead guy.
I don't even know how I can wrap my mind around that. So it was fake. So the album was fake. They found that out. Were they actually lip syncing, or was it just that they had fake singers saying that they were them? They were lip syncing after, but it was the entire album was recorded.
The record, and they were the face dancing and singing to it.
I'm just glad I got my class action settlement and got my money back for that.
You know, we've got a classic tangent here. I was actually against anybody getting their money back.
Just because you shouldn't have bought it to begin
with. Well, there is the snobby side to it, but it's like, what? Did you like the record? Do you not like it now? I mean, I get it that you were sold a package and there's something fraudulent about that.
Right.
But can't it be enough that you just no longer will support them?
Right.
And you can still listen to your fucking album that you loved and gave you so much joy for $10.
I remember when that came out, though, and that
at the mall. It's true.
But there was like 4 songs, and all of them were interchangeable. Like, they sounded almost exactly the same.
On the rain.
Because I'd be at the mall, and I was working at, I can't remember which store I worked at.
Abercrombie?
No. Oh, you think the little asshole joke right there?
Yeah.
Hey, Abercrombie. Well, what's the other one? Fuck.
Buckle.
I think I worked at Eddie Piercing Bauer. Pagoda. I did work at Eddie
you
Bauer.
You worked at Piercing Pagoda.
Come here.
You're crying, you little shit.
You little pussy. Get over here, you 12-year-old. Take it like a girl.
Oh, my God.
Piercing. It's funny if you work at a mall and all of a sudden you're piercing it like 15 years old. You have no idea what the fuck you are. You're just puncturing holes in other human beings and getting a salary for it.
The guy piercing your ear. There's an Orange Julius coffee.
So Julius, there's half a Wendy's sandwich sitting right next to him. He's got burgers. There's no sanitation happening in that.
After I'm done piercing your ear, I'm heading down to Sbarro.
Who's up next? We gotta get this line. Beer spit alert.
Oh boy,
you almost like destroyed all your equipment right there.
Yeah, just about, thousands time for of a dollars song. I need to get out of this.
Let me see here real quick. We're gonna play I'm gonna do a double shot, and I'm gonna pick 2 tracks because I cannot figure out which one is the best to sell people on this band. But Trucker Diablo, I've mentioned them before. They have a brand new album I did on Pledge Music, and I'm gonna play 2 tracks. One, this I can just tell you, this album is all about the riffage. Fucking incredible riffs on this album.
I love that.
So the first one that's all about the riffage is called We Will Conquer All. And I'm going to follow it up with one that shows both of them, they're always very catchy, but this one is particularly catchy and poppy. So it's on the flip side of it, and that's called Let's Just Ride.
Belusa, have you heard a little bit about the Striper drama with the bass player where?
I know you did the whole thing with 25 best bass players.
23 bass players 23. That I love, and none of them are the guy in my band. Well, it was recently officially announced that Tim Gaines is no longer in the band. Longtime member. It was the original four from back in the day. Still.
I give zero fucks about this, by the way.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. Of course you do. I only care because I think it's funny.
Okay, good.
I really don't care that. And of course.
The only thing I care about is anytime I can play a clip of Michael Sweet being a pirate.
Well, hello, everyone. It's bloody good to see you. It's Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones. That's right. That's right, mate. Yes, of course it is. Listen to me when I tell you that there's an album coming out, a bloody fine album that's coming out in early November. One of the best bloody rock albums I've ever heard in my life, and I've heard many and I've played on many, but this one takes the prize. You're going to love it. Trust me on that, mate. Sweet and Lynch, early November, Frontiers. Bye-bye.
Well, of course, Michael Sweet took a few shots at him and all this stuff on Facebook, but Tim Gaines struck back, and I'm just going to quote him. This is from his own Facebook post. He posted this. My recent demise within the Striper camp came about because I actually have testicles. I stood my ground when I was told to give
one or
up.
Two.
It's plural, so it's at least two.
So it's more than Tupac.
Yeah, more than Tupac, yeah.
Okay. If the hologram of Tim Gaines. Is it Tim Gaines?
Tim Gaines.
Why does that sound like the guy that...
burned your house down?
Yeah, it was Tim Gaines. That motherfucker knows. I'm glad he's not a striper.
Yeah.
He's not a holy roller. No. What was the name of the worst idea ever that Garth Brooks was?
Oh, what was that? Yeah.
Wasn't it Tim Gaines or something like that?
Chris Gaines. Yeah.
Okay, possibly related. Mm. Does he have a little soul patch?
I don't believe so.
Okay, continue on.
Okay, so he has at least two testicles, maybe more.
Maybe we should do a whole episode on Chris Gaines, though. We do the Chris Gaines discography.
We could break down the whole record.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, discography, yes. That's an even better way to put it. Anyway, he was told to give up the woman who... I was told to give up the woman I love, who is now my wife, in parentheses, or get fired. I threatened to sue. I was conveniently fired 10 days after my marriage to Brandy on the grounds that I made some posts threatening to sue the band for wrongful termination. They called it threats. Now, I'm going to break his statement up here, Lewis, because...
Please.
After that someone jilted statement... And, he took a couple kind of, he got real there, right?
I'm trying to understand what this is. So he decided to get married and now he's, I'm hot? I don't understand.
Okay, he got divorced. Okay. And apparently the rest of the band had a problem with it. Now, again.
Oh, religious stuff. Saying you can't
possible,
get.
That's the implication.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know how true it is or not, and I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, Tim Gaines might be the biggest piece of shit on the earth, and there's a very valid reason they got
besides
rid of him.
Besides Chris Gaines.
Besides Chris Gaines.
Right.
But I just enjoy... Well, it's not real. I enjoy the drama much more than you probably is healthy. But anyway, Tim's about to take it from a 5 to 11.
All right, let's go!
All right.
Crank it up! Come on, Chris Gaines!
He continues.
Tim Chris...
My recommendation to Oz and Bob, who is the lead guitar player, Oz Fox, and Bob is Michael Sweet's brother.
Sure.
The drummer, or visual timekeeper, I think is what
anytime
he goes
you
by.
Get Oz and Bob in the same bar together, you know some shit's about to go down.
There you go.
Oz and Bob!
Yeah, this is going to get real. All right, my recommendation to Oz and Bob, grow some balls and stand up to that pathetic one, which we all have to assume is Michael Sweet, and his conniving wife.
Ooh. He threw the wife in there.
Yeah. Or just continue a life of mediocrity. Damn!
Boom! Gaines bringing it.
No, he didn't.
Oh, my God. Anytime you bring the wife in, you're oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But a guy's brother.
It's a good thing that the pirate just, looks the other way or turns the other cheek, right?
Well, of course.
He's a holy man.
Yeah, well, of course, Michael Sweet is also his own webpage is troll.
Did you know he's a pirate too? Here you go.
Well, Hello, everyone. Bloody good to see you. It's Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones. That's right. That's right, mate. Yes, of course it is. Listen to me when I tell you that there's an album coming out, a bloody fine album that's coming out in early November. One of the best bloody rock albums I've ever heard in my life, and I've heard many and I've played on many. But this one takes the prize. You're going to love it. Trust me on that, mate. Sweet and Lynch, early November, Frontiers. Bye-bye.
Well, in the sense deleted, post continues.
Deleted by him?
Oh, yeah. And, right. And he takes it up a notch here, Liz.
Another notch?
Oh, yeah. This is
so he's gone from 5 to 11 and further?
Yes, this is even further. You will not be let down
so
by
this.
So
he's giving 130%.
Yeah. A higher percentage than 11%.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. He continues in the sense deleted post. You have both been threatened with termination over the last several years. He, again, we have to assume Michael Sweet.
Sure.
Figured that, or has $1 million home. You rent and drive 20-year-old broken down cars. Seriously? They're driving 20-year-old cars that are broke down all the time?
Who?
Oz and Bob.
Oz and Bob? Oz and Bob both have 20-year-old cars together? Maybe they share it.
Maybe they live in it.
It's the Oz and Bob mobile. Hey, Oz, nothing. Are you using the car today? Nope, you can have it, Bob.
It's a new reality show where Oz and Bob try to get into Michael Sweet's estate. Why can't we just come in?
Michael, let us in. It's Oz. It's Bob, Michael. Let us in. I'm sorry.
I'll be right
out. I'm a pirate. Let me tell you why you can't come in. And why don't we listen directly from Michael up on this one?
Well, hello, everyone. Bloody good to see you.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, he continues. You both have nothing to show for your 35 years. Quit playing Rockstar and get a clue, dumb shits. And he spells dumb shits with a Z at the end.
I'm pretty sure that was intentional, though.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, if you type it in there, I mean, it's not like you're going
to... I mean, the S and the Z are kind of close to each other, but yeah. And they look sort of alike, so right. Maybe he just like...
Or maybe that's just a preview of his new band. Because that could be... that's a band name.
Get a clue, dumb shits.
No, just dumb shits with a Z.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I know who would listen to that. Billy Hardaway.
Yeah.
that's spelled exactly like some of the bands he likes from the 80s.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And he's probably, he might be the only person that cares about this.
Yeah, probably
do,
that.
Do you think, let me ask you this, Luz. How will Tim How will the departure of Tim Gaines financially affect Stryper?
How will it affect them?
Yeah, like as far as ticket sales and record sales, what kind of dent will him not...
Well, the thing is, there was no income, and then there's not any income again. So I'm going to say it's an even. It's even.
Oh, well, apparently Michael Sweet's...
I don't think he lives in $1 million house. Yeah.
Well, $1 million, you know, that's not that nice if it's in the wrong or right part of town.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can be in $1 million house.
I think he lives in Nashville.
Yeah, if you're in Denver, you can be in $1 million house.
Kid Rock has a double wide in Nashville, and then for $28,000, they'll ship him another one.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
So that's what
is that a news story?
Oh, he did an interview where he's like, yeah, I live in a double wide because I don't need all this fancy stuff. I used to have it. Mm-hmm. And if it burns down, I'll just order another one, and they'll send it right here.
Oh, excellent.
So, yeah, it's very frugal.
I guess that's true. You know, maybe if you own your land and you have a portable house, then you don't have to deal with inflation.
Yeah.
You just... have another one shipped out there.
Well, since we're kind of on a downer topic, can I play a slower song? Because I'm not playing Stryper. We
Good.
Played some Sweet and Lynch a while
please,
back.
Let's play some more new stuff.
How about I play a new Foo Fighters song, and we come back and talk about it?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
One of the songs I like off it is kind of a more of a mellow tune called Dirty Water, and here it is.
Thank you.
you got the new Foo Fighters, obviously. I think you were listening to it before I had a chance. Tell me your overall thoughts on it.
Yeah, well, obviously, I'm not as big of a fan. I like the Foo Fighters, but I know that you're into them more than I am. Overall.
Oh, really? Okay. I thought we were about equal. Okay, that's fine.
No. I mean, you definitely have liked their last few albums a lot more than I have. I can say that much. And
you didn't like Wasting Light as far as...
I was okay. They haven't really grabbed me for a while.
I mean, that's their pinnacle.
Okay. So then when I was listening to this, the first thing that hit me was that they are... I like the fact they did some changes, but also it kind of reminded me of Queens of the Stone Age, kind of in that kind of hipster. There's a couple of songs that kind of like experimental. There's a few that remind that, not in a bad way specifically, but I did like, I can say this much. I think the first half better than this. The second seems to peter off and get a little too weird or down or something like that. But there are some definitely choice tracks in the beginning. I can't remember all the name of it. The thing about the sky is good. There's another one that's
the
like
sky
that.
Is,
I know what it is. I do want to play. I would like to actually play this because it's only a minute long.
Yeah.
Can we let's also play that that t-shirt song. I don't want to be king. I just want to sing love song. Pretend there's nothing wrong. You can sing along with me. I don't want to be queen. Just trying to keep my t-shirt clean.
I loved it. And by the way, a while back we got into this. It started on a Facebook post I did, but we talked about it a little bit. You know, where I talk about the color of a record and the depth.
Yeah.
This record has it, what I look for. And by the way, I only mean that as like a personal preference thing. I actually don't care for the sound of this record, but it has a sound.
Definitely has a sound.
Yeah. I mean, and the lows are low and the highs are high. And, you know, because it's not so compressed like a lot of the modern production.
Well, better because he made an entire movie out of that damn board.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
he better not fail on that.
A little bit of a letdown there, but no, this was not recorded using that. Did you know that?
Really? That's
yeah. It was recorded in a different studio and using a producer who does like Adele.
All right.
To answer a question you asked me months ago, listen to this record. Just listen sonically to it,
mm-hmm.
not like the songs and stuff, but how it sounds, and then compare it to the new Stone Sour. And the new Stone Sour sounds exactly like almost all the records you get. This one has peaks and valleys and room, and it breathes, and it has a color to the actual sound. And again, not that big of a fan of the actual sound of the record. It's a good sounding record, but it doesn't.
No, I know what you're saying. Okay. Because after you told me that, and I listened to Stone Sour and other things, right? Like all the things are almost the same volume. Like it sounds fine, but it's just kind of like the presettings that they were talking about, the producer panel.
Yeah.
Like that, like it's the plugin settings. Yeah. Like I want it to sound like, it's almost like when you go on your phone, you say the settings I want to listen to for my equalizer is jazz.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Rock or bass heavy or that. And it's like,
I hate that. Always
right,
have.
Right.
Can I just get bass, treble and paint left and right?
Yeah, I never use those because they never sound right for me. I liked a couple of the songs in the beginning. But anyway, the song
I
we
think
just
it's
played,
a bit of a grower for me, by the way.
That's what I was saying for me, too. But oh, the t-shirt song that starts off, I really wish that was a full song.
I do too.
I wish
too,
it was like a full song instead of the minute. The one thing I will say is
it's so
some...
cool as just a minute thing too, though.
Yeah, yeah. But when they were saying that, there's one part about it that makes me laugh because it kind of sounds unintentionally like Adam Sandler. At one point, he's like, "Hello, my little t-shirt."
Yeah,
he does something like that, and it kind of sounds like an Adam Sandler. Now you've heard me say that, you'll hear it.
Yeah, okay. Well, did you hear Billy Corgan is doing a silent movie? I don't know anything about it other than it's called Pillbox. I just thought the idea of him being in a silent movie was interesting.
I think that's a great idea because I hate his fucking voice.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah,
it is so grating.
His soundtrack is going to be him.
So it's a silent movie, but then he's going to do the music for it?
Yes.
Then this is a terrible idea.
So you don't like the Pumpkins at all? Nothing?
No, I've said, I've liked a lot of my Bullet, Butterfly Wings. Yeah. Love that song.
That record was where it ended with me, by the way.
Yeah, me too. It was
bloated.
So unbelievably bloated, and then critics kept telling me it was good. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? This thing is dog shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's some good stuff in between it, but this makes Use Your Illusion. Well, you like Use Your, but people that would criticize the Use Your Illusion albums would saying that this is a masterpiece. No, and the thing about it is his voice is a lot like Miles. It's a lot like Miles Kennedy for me. Certain songs it works for him, mm-hmm. and other ones just kills me.
I actually think he has to focus on aggressive music.
Yeah,
when he gets to kind of like the Tonight kind of song.
Yeah,
that kind of singing. Yeah, I'm with you. It grates, and that's God. That song, 1979, is so douchey.
It's horrible. Oh, he actually hates that song, by the way.
Oh, good for him. And one of the few things I agree on.
Yeah, I mean that song was terrible. He's never played it live, I guess. You
know, so here's 1979.
I'm trying to think of a song. Did you want to feature a pumpkin song?
No. Why not?
I'm trying to think of a one that always like I always love Zero, but it's a pretty popular one.
What about Mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise? Is that off the first one?
No, it's off of I Am One off the first one, be a great one.
We'll be right back.
coming back from the pumpkins. I really didn't think we would be ending up there, but
me either.
As you know, I went to Grand Rock Timber again. This is my third year.
Yep. And is what the sixth time for that?
Fifth year. This is the fifth year. Okay. Six, okay. According to Gunnar Nelson, but this was the fifth year. okay. Sorry, Gunnar.
You'll go into that in a second.
He liked that. By the way,
what
his personal Facebook page click like on the Gunnar Nelson interview. Now,
did they share it?
No, didn't share it.
All right. So, anyway. Fair enough.
So it may be my last. They have a new person running it, and there is almost no media presence. I was one of three photographers.
What was that compared to the other years?
About 10.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it was a pretty big drop-off. I'm not sure why I got it.
Was it the same person this year, though, as last year?
No.
Or new person this year completely?
Yeah, new person this year completely.
You can tell some differences then.
Yeah. Okay. And also, we get our media credentials, right? And we go in, and like we normally have, like this is our third year doing it, and they immediately send us back to the people who just gave us our credentials and said, you need to go over there to the will call window, and they'll tell you who you're supposed to meet. And we go there, and we talk to the person who just gave them to us, and she does the biggest eye roll I've ever seen in my life, and just goes, just go in that door. So she points the door to our left, and apparently we just open a gate and go in. And
that's the security.
And we walk past the same security, but on the other side of the fence now, and we're fine. So as we're leaving for the first time to go get a battery for my camera, about halfway through the evening.
Yep.
Because they let you in and out, by the way. One of the cool things about the event, they because it's a casino, they don't mind if you leave.
That's true.
So I check with the guy on the way out, and he's like, well, you got media credentials. You can come and go as you want. I'm like, okay. So I go to the car, come back, and I get waved in, and the rest of the night's fine. The next day, we get stopped at the gate coming in, and they're like, nope, you can't. We're told no media. No. And I'm like, did something change? He's like, hold on. Something changed. And he calls the guy over, and then I wait for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes, and then he's like, you got to talk to that guy. So the guys approach me. I walk towards him, and he's like, what's the problem? I was like, I don't know. He said I had to talk to you, and he's like, they're good. and then we got to go in. And then we got hassled a little bit like that the rest of that day. It was just kind of this weird clusterfuck. So something was going on. They just changed the way that they handled media. Like, it was almost like, yeah, I don't trust you.
Well, it's just amazing when any of those events do that. Just like there's just a really quick snafu at the Gene show about, like, how is there not a master list somewhere of everybody that's been approved by the promoter.
But at least once it was
promoter,
taken care of,
it was
done.
Fine. Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm just explaining that anytime there's any of those things, you're like, how does this even happen? If there's a list, there's a list.
Especially for this, because this was done weeks ago.
Right.
You know, the Gene thing, you know. Yeah. But I don't know. Unlike the years past, not a lot of funny stuff to talk about. There actually seemed to be less of a vibe for the whole evening.
Less attendance, too?
Maybe. It was still
about the same.
Bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
But something was just different.
Yeah, and like, you know, Extreme was the headliner the first night, and in the last couple years, people didn't bail on the headliner, and they did during Extreme. They were cleared the place out.
Yeah, but they were good, but you were telling me that they made what I always blows my mind about how the first couple songs that a band plays are crucial to keeping a crowd, right?
Oh, definitely. They came out with It's a Monster. I'm like, why are you opening with this song?
Yeah, great song, but that is not an opener.
Oh, and by the way, the singer almost impaled me with his mic stand. He was doing
Sharon.
Gary was doing that weird dance, and he had like the mic stand with no bass, and he like pulled the mic off, and then he just launched the mic stand in the air.
Yeah,
and I was taking pictures, and the thing cracked me in the top of the head, knocked my sunglasses off.
Ooh, it actually did hit you.
Oh yeah.
Really?
I'm like sitting there right dead center, leaning up on the stage. Now, I think it bounced around before it got to me.
Because
I saw him hit it, and then when it hit me, it didn't hit me hard.
Right.
It didn't, like, leave a bruise or anything like that, but it was enough to knock my sunglasses off, and then all of a sudden, it is literally, like, laying straight across my forehead. As I backed up, it's, like, hanging off the stage this far, you know, but...
Good God.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
But they were
there.
Great. I can't remember what the second song was. Oh, it was Little Jack Horny. And I'm like, and then they go
that's
and...
That's the one they start with the second one, too?
Yeah.
See, that's when it gets a little too cartoony, too.
Yeah.
To start off.
Unlike you, I'm not a big fan of It's a Monster, but
yeah.
I get that
well,
a lot
like
of people like...
Well, I like it. I like it because it's about masturbation.
Yeah. Well, and if you're an Extreme fan, I get a lot of them do actually like the song, whatever. I mean, I don't have a problem with it being in the set list. Just not one of my favorites. But you don't.
So
you
prefer Little Jack Horny over
I hate.
Okay, that's a
Little
terrible
Jack
song.
Horny.
That's
a terrible song. Bad song overall.
It's very bad. Get the Funk Out is in between for me.
And Get the Funk Out was the, but at least it's
upbeat. It'd be a good opener.
Yes, it's a good opener. And they did not play Decadent Dance.
That's
and I'm like
stupid. That should be the opener almost.
Yeah, I mean
great
something,
song.
But. That said, they sounded amazing,
right?
And Nuno's one of those guys, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, so fuck it. Yeah. Pick an extreme song.
Absolutely. You want to play some Rihanna? You know he is his guitar. That's how he makes his money.
Yeah, like a
it's pretty cool. An article I read a couple years ago that had like all the people that do dual work to survive in this climate now.
What about Warhead?
We'll be right back.
right, so after that, we had day two, which was just kind of more of the same. Great White was their thing. Gunnar Nelson and his brother did not come for the scrap metal show that promised us.
Say that again.
Well, you know, we talked to Gunnar Nelson. Yeah,
he
said Nashville.
It's his thing. It's his baby.
Yeah.
You're telling me he wasn't there?
No.
What about his brother?
No.
Neither were there.
No, they were busy.
Where were they?
In Las Vegas.
Twin convention?
Yes, it was a blonde twin convention.
Okay.
And it was
them. You gotta go.
It was them and Hefner's wives.
Okay. That's good. Hey now.
That's a hell of a party. Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Everybody probably can't even see. Both those guys come to bed with them.
And of course, this is like an 80s festival, and you only, in the years past, they let you gave photo access for their entire set.
Sure.
But being that it's an 80s thing, I was really happy that the first two artists and the only ones that we could photograph to come out were Pat Travers and the guy from the Cars.
Oh boy.
George Lynch closed the show. Oh, okay. No, George Lynch was in the middle, and then it was Michael Sweet playing Boston tunes for some reason.
So those are the two that you get to photograph with those.
Yeah. I didn't take very many pictures. Anyway. No. And then it was like Great White, Warrant. Warrant was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, how was the whole Guitar Hero thing? Was it all right, or was it just a...
Whatever.
He described it.
You know what?
It
actually every year it does this. You know, because everybody's still kind of hungover. Mm-hmm. The scrap metal brings the crowd back up. It's at the perfect point of the evening, and they play hits, and everybody starts drinking again, and everybody's good. And then you got Great White, and everybody loved Great White. And then you got Warrant, and Warrant actually was very good. And
I was going to ask you about that more.
Yeah, they don't appeal to me musically, but they delivered, man.
So that's what I was going to say, is I've always been curious. I've actually been at a concert where they didn't show up at. Like, it was Dokken and Rat, and it was supposed to be a Warrant. The main reason I went to it, actually, was to see a Janie Lane-less Warrant, because I was interested in how that would even work. You know what I mean? But actually, he did pretty good, Robert Mason.
Yeah, Robert Mason. No, okay. I've actually seen him prior to this.
Yeah.
And he sounded more Robin Mason-y, which, by the way, is very much a Miles Kennedy thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
He has really done a very good job for the Janie Lane songs to emulate Janie a little better. Not like the Journey singer, kind of like a carbon copy,
right.
But kind of try to fit the song a little more. So I give him credit for that. The songs that are original that he's on, I think they played two.
Yeah.
He sounds like himself.
Right.
And of course, the songs are garbage because Janie wrote all their songs anyway.
Correct.
So. But they actually look good. Yep. They have a lot of energy. They play great.
That's good.
So, if you're a fan, they deliver. I mean, there's no complaints.
Well, I know. It's because this is one of those things, like, you know, you're seeing a Sebastian, not fronted, Skid Row. You're seeing this. So, that's good to hear that.
And
so
Skid Row
was
nice.
Great, right?
Yeah, they were. And
who's the new guy now? I'm
ZP3 is his name.
Okay.
He was in Dragon Force.
Yeah, I knew that, I think.
Okay. He's more like the guy in Journey, where he's like a carbon copy as far as how he delivers stuff. So it was a lot of fun. He fits great. And that band also, by the way, still looks pretty good. Comes out and runs around and a lot of energy to what they do.
What was that guy's name? Solinger? There was the guy they had,
Johnny Solinger. Yeah, I never was that. A lot of people loved him. I didn't care for him too much.
He was okay at best. I remember that when they opened for Kiss, that lineup a long time ago. It was like, he sounds all right. The Fact Bastard saw him many years ago with that lineup and said the same thing, where their singer was okay, but the band just killed it. You know, they opened with
I Remember You.
No, I don't think so.
I've seen them open
they
up
opened
with
Slave.
Guns.
They opened with Slave to the Grind when you saw them.
They opened up maybe it was Slave to the Grind this year.
And then they went right into the Threat too.
Yeah,
did they play the Threat?
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
And they just kill it. The only thing they do is that that psychotherapy thing where Rachel gets to sing. I'm kind of over it.
Well, that's exhausting.
It's not bad. I just don't need it anymore.
Right.
They've been doing it for 20 years. It's like...
Right.
And also, Rachel and Snake do this bit where they come out and basically say the exact same thing. Like, we're nothing without you, and you give us our chance to live out our dreams.
Right.
And it's like... Which is great.
Did you ask him on the next EP of that trilogy that was supposed to be?
I did not. I didn't get to talk to anybody. That was the other thing, too, is that like they were very restrictive. Like, they wouldn't let me, even though Mark Slaughter's manager said it was cool, like he could meet me and take us back to meet Mark.
Yeah.
The venue shut it down.
That's cool.
Anyway.
All right. Well, you want to play us out?
Yeah, let's wrap it up here.
Yeah, man. Listen, it's been great hanging out with you in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It's been all 4 weeks since I saw you. Then we're going to have a bigger break. We're going to have a larger break.
A little more time apart.
A little more time apart and everything like that.
Back to Skype.
Yes, back to Skype. But, yeah, man, I figured maybe we can play us out with one of your favorite bands the last couple of years, mm-hmm. Glorious Sons. They have
a band you turned me on to, by the way.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't even remember how that goes. Yeah, at some point you're going to have to introduce
me. I just assumed
music.
As much. I don't know. You've thrown so much crap at me. So.
But they have they've been putting out little singles. I think their album's going to come out sometime next year or maybe the end of this year. But this one's called Everything Is All Right. And a little different sound for them, but super catchy. Hey, you want me to play us out?
Yeah.
Okay. Rock's Not Dead
is hiding.
And you found it.
In a tub of Kiss dolls in Baco's basement.
I knew it! They're not tubs, they're barrels.
All right.
Perfect.
Well, I spend all my money on a pack of cigarettes for a lady that I love with the name I forget. That night I taught her how to laugh, she taught me how to slow dance. I tried to take her home, she said you don't stand a chance. I'm the closest thing my mother had to a daughter. I used to be ashamed of that, but now I'm kind of flattered. I learned that my weakness is a weapon anyway, so I haven't touched a pretty thing in 40 days. It made me happy, sad, love, lonely, and numb to what I had. A few too many favors from a few too many fake friends. I wake up in the afternoon and do it all again. Yeah, I punched a man on his wedding night. I'm still trying to figure out how to apologize. I learned the morning light can't fix nothing anyway, so I haven't touched a pretty thing in.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com. Code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.